This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz from Stephenville, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September the 4th, episode 991. This episode is brought to you by Road to the Horse. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Judy Bland and her late husband, Stephen, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians, where over 2 days they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on this Thursday morning on Horses in the Morning. And, of course, the first Thursday of every month is Road to the Horse Day here on Horses in the Morning. And, as always, we have Tammy Serrant back with us. Hey, Tammy.
Hey, guys. How are you all this morning?
Good. And Tammy's on her phone today. She's not in the best place to have a terrific internet connection, so we had her call in. So thank you for doing that, Tammy. I know you're on the road. What state, where are you at?
I am in Nashville, Tennessee, just south of Nashville, babysitting a sick horse.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about that here coming up as well. You know, something I wanted to mention before we get started, I hope I can get through it actually, is that the Horse Radio Network lost a family member yesterday, and the horse world certainly lost a friend. Sandy Lovato, Frankie Lovato's wife, died in a terrible car accident yesterday morning. And so we're sending our love to Frankie and their children and grandchildren, and that's about all I can get through today. So Jamie and I will do a proper tribute to Sandy tomorrow or Monday on the show. And in the meantime, Sandy would have wanted us to continue with our show because she enjoyed it. She listened to it all the time. So, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's Road to the Horse episode?
On today's Road to the Horse Thursday edition, we're taking a look at the inner workings of the World Championship of Colt Starting, starting with Richard Winters, commentator for this year's event. And then next up, John Pohl takes us on a tour of must-sees in the Lexington area, and there are plenty. And rounding out our adventure, Mark DeBrito, and I'm sure I said that wrong, spills the beans on keeping the concourse under control. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Did she get that right with close?
She did. Yeah, DeBrito, that's really good. I hate last names. That was one thing that Alan on the Western Radio Show was really good at. I was, like, introducing people by first name only.
I think
Alan could always get the pronunciation right.
Well, you know, we're doing the WEG coverage. By the way, we will have our WEG report at the end of the show today, as we have been doing over the last 2 weeks every day. And all of these German and names, Dutch names, and I've been avoiding them like the plague. I've been just trying, okay, Germany's in first place. Some guy that's riding from Germany is now winning.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing, Glenn. We're on the same page. The first name chart.
Well, talk about tough. I mean, what a morning here for all of us. You, Handsome, your horse that everybody knows you with, Handsome, your horse that you've competed with so much over the years and just loved to death, I saw it was in the hospital, but why? I didn't see why.
Well, it was just the most bizarre thing. I went and competed on him on the weekend. He was great. Went hauled him to another competition that, I think I left Sunday or something, but got him off the trailer, Glenn, and he just looked terrible. I mean, he turned like that. It was just the quickest thing. Trailer, he laid down as soon as they put him in his stall and Banamined him and gave him 2 electrolytes and then checked his temperature and it was like 105 and I freaked out and took him into the equine hospital here and basically he got some fluid on his lungs and was having a little bit of a hard time getting his breath and was just feeling really crappy and so I wasn't quite sure how it all ended out and you know, it was what it's like with these guys. I've just been devastated, and it looks like he's going to be good. And the more we kind of look into him and what happened to him, we think he might have had some underlying chronic problem for a little while, and it just kind of came out here. So I think he's going to be okay.
You mean
but a
lung issue of some kind? Or?
Yeah, I think he did because when I hauled him up to Colorado, he still won the competition up there, but I noticed when a run was a little longer, he kind of got winded, and I thought it was just the altitude. And then about a year ago, I noticed that he would wheeze once or twice when you took him out of the horse trailer. So I took him to the vet, and I said, can you look at him and make sure that everything's okay? So they looked at him, and they said he was fine. They said, just wet your shavings down and kind of just wet your hay down and don't tie him up so he can put his head down. And so, you know, when I look back on it, I think there was a couple of signs that that he had some underlying problem. And so I'm just really glad that we ran into it here when we're near a really good equine hospital and he's in the best of care and I could visit him twice a day. And I was able to take him for a walk yesterday and eat some grass. So he's a good guy. I just go sit with him and try and cheer him up a little bit, Glenn.
Are they doing
a child in hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Are they doing tests or to try and figure out what it is? I mean, it's a do horses get pneumonia? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not the best medical person to talk to, but yeah, that's basically what it was. And some of the fluid is gone now from the lungs. So, I went in there and they're like, well, we don't think there's enough fluid on the lungs that we have to put a chest tube in. And I've had a chest tube myself, and I'm like, oh, you can't, like, that's the most painful thing ever. So I'm really glad they didn't have to, you know, go do more stuff and do something like that to him, because that would have just devastated me even more. But the fluid's leaving, and he's on IV antibiotics, and he's on oral antibiotics, and he's on fluids to keep him hydrated, and Gastroguard and stuff like that, just to help him get along a little better. But he's probably going to be out for a month, and may rehab back in time for the World Championships. So, but, you know, Glenn, I don't care if that horse never runs one more run for me.
I was going to ask you, how old is he?
He's my buddy. He's 17 years old.
And he's world champion, what, several times over, right?
Yeah, probably about 5 times. And I've ran him in competition.
Yeah, nothing lost there, right?
No.
He retires tomorrow.
Exactly.
He's done his job.
He'd be a cookie-eating pasture ornament, and I'd love him just the same.
Wow.
So he's good.
How many, horses can say that in any discipline?
Yeah.
I mean about, you know, that being world champion 5 times. Who does that? Hanson does it.
Hanson's pretty amazing. And I look back on it, Glenn, and he's helped me through my injuries. He's helped me through my career and everything I wanted to do. And my gosh, I'm going to sit there in his stall and help him through. I'm like, I'm here for you, bud.
You know, I almost felt bad doing the Sandy, you know, talking about Sandy Lovato and her accident today because you know, that probably brought back memories of yours, and I didn't want to do that to you at the beginning of the show.
But you know what, Glenn, that's life, and I think the biggest lesson that we can take from the morning that we were having is life is precious, and it can change in an instant, and I think it goes back to all the things of being happy. Tell everyone around you that you appreciate them so much. Spend time with them. You know, I mean, take the time to do the little things that you don't want to do because you can't take anything for granted. And that's the same with my horse. You know, I've made plans showing him, and it's almost taken for granted that he's going to be here, you know. So not to get you upset, but I think it's just life, and it's precious, and you have to love it. And I think that's what's important.
And on a positive note, your competitions have been going very well on couple of horses, right?
Yeah, no, it's been going great. Hanson won the Cowgirl Hall of Fame shootout in Fort Worth the other week and won Oklahoma State Championship.
By the way, weren't you nominated for that at some point? The
Cowgirl
Hall of Fame.
I think it was pretty cool that I won it because I was nominated for it. So it was pretty awesome.
Well, now they have to take you.
Well, at least I have their buckle that says Cowgirl Hall of Fame on it somehow.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You can just wear that. Nobody will know.
Exactly. No, it's been great. I'm just happy to be back and happy Hanson's going to be okay. And so that's a good plan. It is.
You know, I did see, I had to laugh though, Tammy, when I saw you with your latest belt buckle there from the Cowgirl Hall of Fame competition.
Oh, yeah.
And I know how many you have. You have about 150 belt buckles. And all I could think of was, I bet you Tammy's at the point now where she's like, just give me like $400 in groceries and skip the buckle.
Put diesel in my truck.
Exactly. How about some gas? A gas card would be great. I had a lot of buckles.
Or a tire.
Exactly. How about pay a vet bill? That'd be good.
The vet bill's going to be really pricey, so.
I know you appreciate all your buckles, but that was just me thinking that.
So. You know what, though, Clint? Like, there's two buckles. I have a lot. And there's two of them, well, three, that I really are the only ones I've actually worn. And one was actually my first major championship because I really couldn't believe I'd actually won it. I was like, they're going to call me anytime and ask for this back, you know, so I'd look at it. And the second one was my first world championship. And then this Cowgirl Hall of Fame one's pretty good looking. It may actually make it to a belt.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, about a road, on the road to the horse front here. If anybody missed the show yesterday, we had a tribute to Road to the Horse, really. We had a couple of your wild card competitors on. We're competing in the celebrity trivia. We call it the Battle of the Sexes. We had Mary Kitzmiller on against Sean Patrick. So they played each other yesterday in the trivia. And Jennifer, if I remember right, Mary won, right? The women won.
Oh, good for her.
Yes, but she won on a technicality.
Yeah, it was kind of, I think Jamie cheated to make sure she won, because I was on Sean's side. But,
nothing wrong with a little cheating, Glenn. At least you're trying.
It was a trip. Mary was on. She actually spent an hour with us, and she was so much fun. And she just was throwing down. She's not afraid to mix it up with the boys, is she?
No, not at all.
She's a Texas girl through and through.
She is that.
I saw today, too, before we get to our first guest, Tammy, and I'm going to try and find it here. Let me see if I can come up with it. It's in my newsfeed. Well, is there anything? Well, I'm looking for it because it was something I had to tell you about. But anything new with Road to the Horse since we talked to you last month?
Well, we've been really busy. The wild cards are coming along well. Chris Cox, we announced he's coming back to defend his three-time undefeated title. And
all the wild cards said, "Dang, gone!" Yeah, uh-huh. I'm sure they were thrilled to hear he's coming back. Just thrilled.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. Yeah, he's tough competition, that's for sure. He's a phenomenal cult batter. I was actually there at Road to the Horse 2011 and was able to watch Chris win that one, and that was phenomenal. I mean, that guy just put his head down and went to work and done everything he needed to, and it was probably one of my favorite Road to the Horses. So.
Well, terrific, and I found what I was looking for because I know you're kind of looking for a new farm there in Texas, and I found one for you. It's a little place. It just came up for sale, and you'll be happy to know. The name of it is Wagoner Ranch, and it was created only 4 years ago after the Lone Star State became, or it was created only 4 years after Texas became a state. So back in the 1800s, it's never been for sale before. And I probably, Hanscom could retire comfortably because it's only 510,000 acres.
Five? How many?
510,000 acres.
Oh, my gosh.
It has 30,000 acres of farmland. It 30,000 acres of farmland, let me repeat that. So Hanscom could retire comfortably there, and you'd never, ever see him again. He'd be gone. He'd be out there eating grass. You'd never see him again. You need a helicopter to go find him. It has 1,200 oil-producing, actually oil-producing wells that produce hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil a year. It has extensive wildlife, thousands of head of cattle, and a breeding operation for American quarter horses. This is the perfect turnkey property for you. I mean, it would be perfect, wouldn't it?
I'll need the oil wells to pay for it, Glenn.
Right. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And the reason you will is because the price tag is currently at $725
million. $725 million. I thought you were actually going to say in the billions.
Well, it's close to a billion. It's pretty close.
Yeah, you know, it really is. Wow. Where'd you find that, Glenn?
Yeah. Oh, it came up on my feed this morning that we watched that it was for sale, and what the heck? I mean, you know, go for it, Tammy.
I might be able to apply for a job there, but I don't know if I can buy it. Mounted shooting doesn't pay that well, Glenn.
You mean the prize money isn't in the millions?
No. I've actually done quite good this year, but not that good.
And I
want to get mail now.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I need a GoFundMe page.
I wanted to give a shout out to Cutting Up Radio, who are the ones that actually posted that on my page this morning, so that we would see it. So, you know what though, you and I can't afford that Texas ranch, the Wagoner Ranch, for $725 million with 51,000 acres. But there's a guy from Canada that I bet after we do the dollar conversion to United States currency that he could afford it. What do you think?
You know, with that much land, I mean, you never even see everything that you had. So
well, that's
what
true.
Happened?
Richard Winters.
You're going to get lost on your own place.
How about a little farm in Texas? We have one. We will sell to you cheap. $750 million. What do you think, Richard?
Hey, I better check up. I am there. You betcha. I think if a guy gets up early in the morning and hits a long trot, he can see a lot of that ranch.
After 3 months.
There you
yeah,
go.
Might make it back for lunch.
It's 31,000 acres, Richard, that are in pasture. I mean, you need a helicopter to find your horse in the morning.
Go yeah, just there. Think out. Just think how small your hay bale would be.
That's true.
That's true.
All right, Tammy, you can properly introduce Richard now.
Well, Richard Winters is no stranger to the Road to the Horse. He's past champion. Richard's daughter, Sarah, has actually competed at Road to the Horse. And Richard is our horseman's host, which keeps everyone updated with what's going on in the round pens. So, Richard, you're a veteran. You're a Road to the Horse junkie.
Well, that's right, and I'm in a pretty cool pond. I count it a privilege to be part of Road to the Horse. There's no event like it in the world, and so to have competed in the event and fortunate enough to win it one time and now to continue to make a contribution as the horseman's host, it's a pretty cool deal for me.
And your
now,
daughter,
wait,
Sarah.
Before you go on, Tammy, let's explain what a horseman's host is.
Yeah, Richard, let us know what you did to keep the audience kind of updated and really understand
like,
what's going on in pens.
Kind of like the play-by-play guy in football, right?
Well, that's right. You know, it's kind of like the quarterback when he can't throw the ball anymore. They just hand him a microphone. So that's my job now. But there are so many things that go on in those round pens, and it's hard for the average audience participant to really catch all the subtle nuances. So it's my job to say, hey, did you see that gentleman right there? You see the way he picked up this rope, and did you see that change in that horse? And to kind of explain things that perhaps the horseman, if he was doing a clinic, he would explain these things himself, but I'm just trying to questions that I think the audience might have in their minds. You know, why is he doing that right now? And so I float from round pin to round pin throughout each session and just try to keep people up to speed as to what they're seeing and try to get inside the mind of the clinician or horseman and give the people some insights in that regard from my unique perspective as being a competitor as well as a lifelong horseman myself.
Absolutely. And 2013 saw your daughter Sarah winners. I was there. Sarah had a phenomenal run on her colt. You've got to be so proud of her.
Well, that was a very exciting year for us, absolutely, to see her go out there and showcase her skill set. She just did a great, great job handling her colt, and yeah, I was very proud of her. Some people ask me, is it going to be kind of awkward for you to do the commentating with your daughter out there? And, you know, and are you going to give her too much of a spotlight? Someone after the first round said, hey, I think you're too self-conscious. You're not talking enough about her. And so, yeah, just to see her out there. And I'm a pretty stoic guy. And there were a couple times when she rode out there on her demonstration horse that I got a little bit teary-eyed.
Aww. What advice did you give her, Richard, when she was walking the round pen? You've been there, you've done that, you've got the belt buckle. What did you tell her was the most important advice for her?
You know, the great thing for Sarah, she had the opportunity and the advantage of being my pin wrangler 2 years in a row. So she was no novice to road to the mm-hmm. horses. So there was not a lot of advice I needed to give her. She knew what she was getting into. I think as all of us know that step into those round pins, the fact is that you don't go in and beat yourself. You know, Sarah and all these other competitors have started hundreds of colts in their lifetime, but you can get caught up with the time pressure and the crowd there, and I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. So, Sarah, you go out there and you do what you know how to do. You read that colt, and in all reality, you know, with everything that goes on at Road to the Horse and leading up to stepping into that round pin, she was just anxious to get busy with colt starting because, as you know, there's the interviews and the autograph signing and, mm-hmm. and the photo op. And I just get into that round pin and do what I do, I'll be happy. And she did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, was that was the year was Guy McLean was in that year, right?
That's right. I think that he came out on top that year. And, you know, I've said this many times, and this is the great thing about Road to the Horse, that, you know, it's a judged competition. There can only be one winner. But if you get invited to compete at Road to the Horse, as far as I'm concerned, you're already a winner. And unless you go into that round pin and do something absolutely stupid and crazy, you're going to be a winner. I have seen standing ovations for every single competitor year after year. The crowd is so appreciative of the different styles and techniques that are used. And so, needless to say, there are hundreds of horsemen and horsewomen who would love to get that special phone call being invited to Road to the Horse. If you get invited there to showcase your skills, you're a winner. And I know that I always felt mm-hmm. that way, and I know Sarah felt that way as well.
Yeah, that's great. And Richard, how many Road to the Horses have you been to? Do you competed in 2009? Did you do anything before 2009?
That's right. I came in 2008 just to feel out the event. I'd heard so much about it. I was acquainted with Tootie Bland. I said, well, Cheryl and I, we're going to go there, and we're going to sit in the stands, and we're going to soak it all in. So mm-hmm. we were there in 2008, competed in 2009 and 2010, came back loosely as a horsemanship commentator. That position hadn't been completely formulated at that time, but it did some commentary the next year, and then I've been there every year since.
So what are your favorite moments of Road to the Horse? I know it's when Sarah was competing, but what are some of the things you look back and you just say, that right there was one of the best moments?
Well, you know, personally speaking, the year that I was fortunate enough to win it, I had this idea that had never been done at Road to the Horse, and mm-hmm. I thought this could be kind of cool if it would work out. And so at the very end of your competition, if you have any moments or minutes left, you have a freestyle portion mm-hmm. where you can do whatever you want. And my colt had lined out pretty good, and I thought, I think he can handle this. And so I had prearranged to have some cattle there, and I had one cow kicked out, or I had the gentleman in the back kick out this cow into the arena in the few moments I had remaining, and I tracked that cow around on my colt, and, you know, since that time it's been done on different occasions by different individuals, but that was the first time. That was the last thing the crowd expected. My colt did a great job, and that was just a fun thing for me to do. It gave my colt a job to do. I thought it was a very good and practical thing and a great way to end up my phase of the competition, so that was a lot of fun.
Hey, Richard, I have a quick question for you. There's so much to deal with when you're competing there. What did you find the most challenging thing to deal with? It probably wasn't the horse, but I just was curious what you found most challenging.
You know, for myself, and I know I talked with Sarah about it, and many competitors, getting our head around the time frame, because when we're at home, there is no time limit. We can spend 15 minutes, we can spend an hour and a half, we just do what that colt needs. But this is a competition with very strict time limits, and you've got to conform your style within those time frames and still be true to your colt and give him the best deal possible. And so when I step in there, I know in my mind the biggest thing for me in that first round is I just need to get him caught. I got to get this sucker caught. If I can't get my hands on him, I'm dead in the water. And I always felt like once I had a halter on him or a rope around his neck, like cruising now. But you just can't burn, 45, 50 minutes trying to catch that horse in the first round and then catch up. And so, and every colt is different. You know, some are more standoffish, some are a little more agreeable and curious. So you never really know. But I always breathe a little sigh of relief once I had a lifeline on those colts.
I got to tell you, I want to give you some kudos because we were actually set up beside your booth here last time, and that was my first time at Road to the Horse. And you're doing what you did, your emceeing and your play-by-play, we'll call it, really did help me, being it was my first time watching it. So it really did help, and you do a terrific job at it. And that's not an easy job either, because you're out there for hours and hours and hours each day and have to find something to say. And actually sound intelligent saying that. You did it very well, Richard.
Well, Glenn, thank you very much. And, it can be a little bit trying, and you try to come up with new things and subtle nuances to pick out. But by the same token, this is what I do and this is what I love, so it's not like I had to give a play-by-play of underwater basket weaving. I'm as intrigued as the most ardent Road to the Horse fan out there. Nobody enjoys watching colt starting and good horsemanship more than me, so it's a labor of love.
Let's talk about that a little bit. And there are fans that have been coming to this and are rabid and are a lot more rabid than any of us will ever be from the beginning. They've been watching it from the beginning. So those people really do, what you're saying, if you say something wrong, they're catching you on it. They know you're wrong,
That's right. I don't know of any other equine audience that is more educated and up to speed than the Road to the Horse fans. And, of course, we have a select group of fans that are the Road to the Horse Nation members, where they have their special seating, and they are aficionados for sure. And so, they're not there they like going to a rodeo or a NASCAR race, but these people have taken time out of their schedule, spent a lot of money to be there because they're wanting to be educated, they're wanting to see great horsemanship. And so I don't know anywhere you could go to see a fan base like we have at Road to the Horse.
I agree. Yep, and I experience, you don't, everybody that hasn't been there is hearing this and going, they're sort of believing what you say about the whole fan thing. When you go there, you realize that's true. I mean, that's when you truly realize everything you said is true.
Well, that's right, and it's not only a competition, it is truly a show. And if a person has never been before, you need to mark it on your calendar. Of course, it's at a great place now, our new home in Lexington, Kentucky, the Kentucky Horse Park, is a destination within itself. But along with the competition, each of the clinicians come out and do different demonstrations and highlight their own horsemanship, and you're seeing the best of the best out there, and they bring their own horses and show some of the things that they've accomplished with their own personal mounts. They do a mini clinic on one particular day. And so along with the competition, it's a whole package. If you love horses, maybe you don't know everything about colt starting or natural horsemanship, but if you have an affinity towards horses and appreciate good horsemanship, you're going to love this event.
Absolutely, absolutely. In 2015, shaping up to be a very exciting year. We'll get to watch Chris Cox come back and go up against Jim Anderson. So we're looking forward to your play-by-play in 2015, Richard.
Well, and this year, Tammy, is really a game changer. If you were Road to the Horse last year, you heard the announcement that none of us knew about until Tootie told 8,000 people out there in the middle of that arena that this year there's $100,000 up for grabs to the winner. There is no other equine event in the world that does something like this. Now, there is a handful of equine events where you can win $100,000, but you're also up against 300 or 400 other competitors. Now there's going to be 2 or 3 competitors, and it's one person, winner take all, $100,000. That the stakes are very high, and these guys are coming game on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Richard, for letting us know a little bit about your task at Road to the Horse. We look forward to having you explain 2015 to us when it comes around, and it's been a pleasure to have you involved with Road to the Horse and your family, which is just amazing.
Oh, Tammy Glenn, thank you very much. We're looking forward to being in Lexington, Kentucky this
morning. Hey, and I got to tell you guys, Mary Kitzmiller was on yesterday, and she threw down and said, you don't even have to have the whole wild card competition on Thursday because she's going to win it. So she said you can just skip that and just have her come on Friday. So just thought I'd let you know.
Go Mary, go girl.
Well, there you go. And I tell you what, she might not just be blowing smoke because she's an awful talented horsewoman. The whole wild card phenomenon is going to be great this year. People are really going to enjoy that, to have one of those horsemen or horsewomen be prepared and step right into the round pin after winning the wild card. Wow, how exciting.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Richard.
It's going to be a great year. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Well, you know, one of the great things now about the Road to the Horse, I mean, it was always in fun locations. I mean, near Nashville is always fun. And then, you know, heading up to Lexington, Kentucky, where Jennifer and I lived for 4 years. And, you know, we thoroughly enjoyed living in Lexington and would still be living there if it hadn't been for the fact that it actually gets cold in the winter. We'd probably still be living here. But we love living in Lexington. There's so much to do. There's so much to see. We used to go over to the horse park. We live 4 miles from the horse park. We used to go over there all the time. We met some fantastic people as well. And one of those people that we met, and I didn't know she was going to be on the show this morning, and do you mind if I introduce her here, Tammy?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, she's from Visit Lexington, from the Lexington actually Visitors Bureau. And her name is Nikki. And Nick, is this the same Nikki we talked to years ago about coming to Lexington for the World Equestrian Games?
It is. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm terrific. It's been a long time since we spoke, and you're still there representing the city.
Oh, I'm still here. Yes, I love this place. Cannot imagine being anywhere else, but I do agree with you. The cold winter is not so much fun.
It's why we're now in the second horse capital of the world here in Ocala, is because it is a little bit warmer in the winter. And you know what? We don't have as much ice, that whole ice thing in the winter in Lexington. But you know what? There are 9.5 months in Lexington that are absolutely beautiful weather-wise. And you have there's so much that goes on and so many activities and so much to do around Lexington. Give us a flavor for... Well, first, let me ask you this, and Tammy, I'm sorry if I'm taking over here.
Oh, no, you're good.
I'm kind of passionate about this topic. When we talked to you leading up to the World Equestrian Games, we talked about, you know, we had you on many times. We talked about the legacy that the World Equestrian Games was going to leave for Lexington as a city and for the horse world as a whole, you know, and I was only buying it about halfway because, you know, a lot of times it's politicians that say that stuff and, you know, you discount some of it and you throw it out and you have to go somewhere in the middle. But it truly has helped Lexington in many ways.
It really, really has. You know, from my standpoint, working with media and all the people that came in from around the world, just the knowledge of Lexington now is much wider spread than it used to be by virtue of hosting the World Equestrian Games in 2010. We were written up in so many wonderful publications, and the story was, you know, shared with lots of people around the world. So actually, the World Equestrian Games are going on right now in Normandy, and I'm seeing a lot of good news come out of that, too. Lots of great competition. But, you know, in addition to all of that, the Kentucky Horse Park campus really was improved prior to that, and Road to the Horse gets to take advantage of the new Alltech Arena, which is state-of-the-art, really nice footing, you know, all those technical things that the horsemen and horsewomen, you know, really desire.
Well, you know, too, to follow that up, Road to the Horse would not be in Lexington now if it hadn't been for the World Equestrian Games. And I might throw this in, and I just remembered this. Tammy, you and I met for the first time at the World Equestrian Games.
Yes, we did. That was a long time ago, Glenn. I remember staying in my living quarters at your boarding facility and showing you all my guns in my
You, I got to tell you, that was the first time we met. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It was great fun. Lots of lasting friendships were made, for sure.
It was a great day.
Ton of new horse shows coming in, including Road to the Horse, into the Kentucky Horse Park because of the facilities that were built there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes, absolutely. The horse park really is quite a special place.
You can't say this, but I'm going to. France is getting the reports coming out from France from the people who are over there seeing it. Let's just say it's not as logistically well run as it was in Lexington, and there's a little more complaining than there was 4 years ago. So,
well, you know, the beauty of the horse park is that it's all right there. You know,
right.
we have the advantage of having a lot of wide open spaces here in Kentucky, and take full advantage of that out at the horse park, and it was really nice to, you know, keep it all in one area. But I know lots of friends that are in France right now having a wonderful time.
Well, now, when people do come in for events like Rolex and any of the other Arab show out there, or any of the other shows, jumping shows that go on, what are some of the must-sees they have to do while they're in Lexington?
Sure. Well, you know, everybody knows Kentucky for horses, and the other thing that
bourbon.
Folks know us for here is bourbon. Yes.
Thanks,
so, absolutely. One of our great attractions here in the central part of the state. There are lots of distilleries that you can tour. In addition to that, downtown Lexington has really grown a lot since 2010, and even in the last couple of years, with just tons of great new restaurants opening up. A lot of them have fabulous cocktails that are using, you know, bourbon as the base for those. A lot of cooking with bourbon going on. So there's more than just doing the distillery tours if you want to kind of get a flavor of that bourbon history too. So
that's
definitely.
Last time we were there, there's a big hole in the middle of the city, and now they're building something in the hole. What's going in? And everybody knows what I'm talking about if you've been in Lexington at all. There was some buildings that were torn down, and there was just an empty lot. Actually, during the World Equestrian Games, it was a lot that they did concerts and stuff on. But now,
yeah.
Last time we were in, it was a big hole. So what's going on in the hole?
Well, it is still a big hole. It has been it's been a busy summer here in Lexington. They are working on the parking garage that is going to be underground. So there's been a lot of blasting in Lexington this summer, and I think they're just finishing that. But there's going to be a variety of things there, including a hotel, some apartment buildings, office spaces, retail, restaurants, lots of different things going in there. And then directly across the street from that, there's an old building that's known as the First National Building. Used to be a bank years ago. That's actually being turned into a 21C museum hotel. And if you've been over in Louisville, when you've been here in Lexington, you may have seen the 21C there. There's a couple others scattered around the U.S.
Oh,
but
that's a super,
we are
like super modern, kind of nouveau artsy hotel. Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. You know, perhaps 2016 some folks can enjoy that property in downtown Lexington.
Kind of a boutique hotel, that's what you would call it. It's and the one in Louisville, I always wanted to stay there. It's just super, I don't know how you describe it. It's it's just cool.
Yeah, there's a lovely restaurant there within the 21C in Louisville called Proof, which, of course, is a restaurant that is centered around bourbon. It's got a great list, wonderful food. We do expect a restaurant that will be unique to Lexington in the 21C here. Haven't really heard word yet on what that's going to be or what kind of shape it's going to take, but, you know, the folks at 21C do things top-notch, and so I know it's just going to be wonderful, whatever it winds up being.
Now, Tammy, did you ever get to go? One of our favorite things to do when we lived there, and we would go down several times a year, was to Shaker Village. Did you ever get to go down there, Tammy?
No, what's that?
Well, describe it for everybody.
Sure. Shaker Village is actually one of our great historic attractions here. The Shakers were a religious group, and they had a very large presence here in Kentucky around the early 1800s, communal group, and they were really, really well known for their craftsmanship. So when you go out to Shaker Village, it sits on 3,000 acres, and it's just beautiful farmland out there. So they have heirloom gardens and lots of cattle and sheep and all sorts of livestock out there that, you know, you can interact with, see. They do sheep shearing at certain times of the year. You can actually stay the night at Shaker Village, too. And one of the things this summer, they have changed up some of their programming, and there are so many awesome things going out there. It's a wonderful nature preserve. They have about 40 miles worth of hiking trails. If you
and
happen
riding
to be traveling
trails.
With, and riding trails, yeah. If you're riding with your or traveling with your horse, I should say, you can head on out to Shaker Village and take a wonderful scenic ride.
Well, Jennifer's done that, and the other cool thing that's out there, and Jennifer, I think you had a chance to do this, is they have a fox hunt that hunts around Shaker Village. And talk about beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful area, and it's really hilly country, Kentucky. And Shaker Village is so serene and peaceful. And they have a, what's it called, Jennifer? They have the Meeting of the Hounds there in town, in the village, once a year where thousands of people come out, and they run the hounds through town, and then all the huntsmen come through. It's just the coolest thing.
It is. Very colorful presentation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But there's something out there for everybody. You know, there's lots of kids programming. You can go canoeing. You can go on a boat ride, on an old paddle wheeler. So, you know, it's a great afternoon adventure if you find yourself with some extra time.
You know, one of the cool things, too, about where Lexington is situated is you're only a couple hours from – you're an hour from Louisville. You're a couple hours from Mammoth Cave, one of my favorite places to visit, because I love caves and doing that thing. It's just – you're just so close to a bunch of different stuff that's in the area, too, that a lot of people don't even think about. Let's just not mention, too, that you have to spend a half a day, and Tammy will back me up on this, just driving around the outskirts of Lexington looking at the farm.
That's what I do. I love that.
Yes,
especially
in baby season in the
spring.
You got it. Took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say March is prime time to be here to see those pretty little babies out in the fields.
Well, now let's get serious here. We have to talk about something.
Okay.
Because we, you know, when we moved to Ocala, they're still claiming their horse capital. Lexington claims they're the horse capital. Ocala claims they're the horse capital. Now we can honestly say we lived in two horse capitals of the world.
Right.
And I don't even know if you're allowed to talk about this, but one of these days we're going to get to the bottom of it and find out who. I know, and I don't know all the details, and I know you're probably not allowed to talk about it, but there was a lawsuit years ago, Tammy, between the two places about who could say it was.
Who could be the horse capital?
Yes, and there still is a sign that in Ocala that says horse capital of the world. It's just, I think the rivalry still going on, actually.
That's funny.
It is a nice, friendly rivalry, that's for sure.
You got her in a bind, Glenn.
Well, I know that, and I did do that on purpose. She probably knew I was going to.
I'll do something else.
We have worked together before, and we've had this discussion before. Now, I propose this. I think the employees for both visitor bureaus should get together and play like a polo match or something against
each other,
or maybe flag football, something, you know, and then we could finally decide this thing. I think it would be a great event, and we could sell tickets, you know, there'd be blood and stuff. It'd be great.
Jeez. I mean, gosh, my legs where they are. Come on. I think my athletic days are over. No,
okay,
I think, you know, I will say this. Anywhere there are horses in mass quantity is a special place. Ocala and Lexington both, you know, and it's the people. It's the people that love horses, the landscape surrounding them. It's just, they're such beautiful creatures, and there's a heart and soul that goes along with, you know, all of that, and it really shows through in each of the horse communities and other places, too, throughout North Carolina, Maryland, up into New York State. You know, there's a lot of horse lovers out there.
I'd say that
absolutely.
For benefit. Texas? Yeah.
Texas too, yes. Lots of Texas horses.
Okay.
And Oklahoma.
Good
Can't
job.
Forget them.
Very well there, Nikki. Good job of covering them. Good. Bye, Tammy. She works, you know, is in public relations for the city of Lexington because she's good at that.
You kind of tested her there, Glenn.
She knows how to put me in my place in a very polite way.
You guys are great. One thing I did want to mention, because I know the dates are a little bit different than they were last year. Mm-hmm. Since you're coming in a little bit later in March, it is a very busy time of year, and you know how basketball crazy we are here in Lexington. That's going to be a busy time for basketball. There's going to be Run the Bluegrass Half Marathon that's going on at the same time as Road to the Horse, and a couple of conventions taking place. Yes. So the message there is book your rooms now. So that you're not faced with a conundrum later on.
Mm-hmm. And what are the dates again, Tammy?
The 26th to the 29th of March.
Oh, so it is a little bit later. We're just 1 month ahead of Rolex at that point.
Correct, yes. And bring the rain gear. We do get some rain in the spring.
If you have a marathon going on, you have a couple of conventions in town, and there's anything to do with basketball, then you're right. Get the hotel booked early.
Right.
Tammy, are there specific hotels that there are rooms blocked, or is everybody on their own? How's that work?
Yeah, Glenn, that's a great question. There are hotels where you can get Road to the Horse rates, and they are all on the Road to the Horse website at roadtothehorse.com under lodging, where to stay. So there's a list of hotels there that you can see that are close to the horse park that are Road to the Horse friendly.
Okay. Cool. Very good. Well, this has been fun. It was a treat to get to talk to you again, Nikki. I wasn't expecting that this morning.
Nor was I. When I was talking earlier to the producer, I said, is that the Glenn I know? Did he used to live here? And, so great talking to you both again. And we're so excited to welcome Road to the Horse back for the third year.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nikki. What's the website for Visit Lex?
We are at www.visitlex.com.
And that's L-E-X, visitlex.com. And if you have any other questions or, you know, you want to bring an event to the city of Lexington and want somebody to talk to about that, just give Nikki a call. You know, go to visitlex.com, find the phone number, call them over there. And, you know, they're happy to help you with anything that goes on in the city or giving you just some background, that kind of thing, because they do know everything there is to know about what happens in that city. So visitlex.com is a terrific resource. Congratulations on still being there, fighting the good fight for the people of Kentucky.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
All right.
it.
We'll see you. She was a lot of fun to work with for the WEG. That was a treat for me. That was a highlight of my morning. That helped brighten it up a little bit here.
You tested her PR skills there, Glenn. Good job.
She knew I was going. She had to know as soon as she heard it was me that was going to come up. Hey, you know, we thoroughly enjoyed living in Lexington. People sometimes bust our chops a little bit for moving, and it was really, truly because of weather. And one thing I did want to say is one of the problems we had living in Lexington is Jennifer likes to ride a lot every day, and there wasn't a lot of places to trail ride. because of all the big, there's all this open space and big farms, but you can't ride on them. So they're pretty closed off. And so when she was boarding, it was really the 20 acres you were boarding on, and there was no place to go out from there riding. And the roads in that area, as you know, are very narrow. You would never want to ride your horse on the roads there. It'd be just too dangerous. There's no berm at all. And most of those back roads around, you've driven them, Tammy, are really a lane and a half.
Yeah, I remember pulling my living quarters trailer around through the back streets of Lexington thinking, ooh, this is not like Texas.
No, you barely can get two cars by, let alone a truck and a trailer and another truck and a trailer. Somebody has to get off the road somehow. But, the other reason why we moved to Ocala is because it is a lot more wide open. And, we have 17 miles of trails out our driveway.
It's rural here. Yeah, very rural. Ocala is not a city. Ocala is a town.
And I must say this, there's a lot more to do in Lexington, I think. And Ocala, I don't even know if they have a visitors bureau. I really don't. Certainly not one that's as active as the Lexington one is. But we truly, if I ever was going to move back to a place, if we had to leave Florida, I would move back to Lexington. We really did enjoy that. There.
Oh, yeah. It's just such a beautiful city. I love the fencing and the bonds and the horses. There's something very unique about Lexington.
Well, let's take a break for a song, and you introduce us, and I've been playing her music ever since, Tammy. You introduced us.
I love her.
Stephanie Quayle. She has some terrific music. I don't know why she's not, on the top of the charts over in the countryside, because she's terrific. Her name is Stephanie Quayle. If you missed her being on the show, that was last episode, wasn't it, Tammy?
She joined us last episode. Great girl. Yeah. Horse girl.
Yeah, head over to horsesinthemorning.com and take a look for the last Road to the Horse episode here in the month of August. It's always the first Thursday of the month. And listen to Stephanie's interview. She's a lot of fun. And I downloaded one of her songs. It's called Rodeo Life. So we're going to listen to Rodeo Life by Stephanie Quayle. We're going to be back with more on the special Road to the Horse edition of Horses in the Morning.
She woke up and put her faded jeans on, stared out the window where those rusty barrels glistening in her field of dreams. She packed up the trailer with the saddle Mama gave her, put in a quarter, his name was Savior. This is her time, we're gonna watch her shine. She started raising barrels when she was 10. Was the same day they said her mom would never walk again. Now she's doing this for her, she's doing this for them, 'cause she says her mom one day will walk again. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road to the rodeo. He dusted off a picture of his daddy winning, that the buckle, he was a champion years in a row. He gave quite a show. Since his dad passed, he promised that he'd come home and win while he didn't suffer with his family. He's heading up his house to sleep. He started roping cattle when he was 10. His daddy swinging his rope. He wanted to be just like him. Now he's doing this for him, he's doing this for them. He's got a family to feed and he's not even 20 yet. It's a long, long, long road. You got the barrel racing ladies, the clowns in the corner, the bull riding men tonight. You got the cap roping cowboy down from Wyoming, he's come here to change his life. Yeah, dreams are gonna happen tonight. Heartbreak is gonna happen tonight. Yeah, this is the rodeo life, the rodeo life.
And that's Rodeo Life, sung by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music. Just go to iTunes and look up Stephanie Quayle. She has a ton of songs on there. You can buy them for 99 cents. I think she also has a website at stephaniequayle.com is where you'll find her. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I'm here with my friend Tammy Sarantz. And we are doing the special Road to the Horse episode of Horses in the Morning. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair as well. Well, now, Tammy, has there been any new updates? I know that Richard spoke earlier about the prize money, the $100,000 that goes out to the contestants. But there's also some money going out to a fan. A lucky fan is going to win something this year.
I know, Glenn. It makes me want to go buy a ticket myself. I want a shot at the $10,000 fan.
Lucky
Road to the Horse fan will get a check for $10,000. How that's going to work is all the ticket holders are going to go into the pot and they will be drawn, and we'll have a small group of lucky people that we've selected, and then they will go and they will select a horse from the remuda. So they will each kind of pick one each that they're going to follow and go through. And then if that horse has the highest score at the end of the event, then that fan will get a check for $10,000. So basically they're going to be assigned a horse. They'll follow that horse through, and the lucky horse is the lucky fan.
I think that's terrific, and what a great idea. What other competition or any event can you go to where you have the chance of winning just by sitting in the audience? That's pretty cool.
I know, and there's so much shopping at Road to the Horse, Glenn. I think that it would be really hard to leave with $10,000. You got $10,000.
There is a ton of shopping. I'll tell you what, and it was a little bit of everything. It was tack. It was a lot of, Western house-style wear stuff, just everything. There was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I got some great boots there. Twisted X boots is there. I got some saddle blankets. I would, keep my credit card in my coat pocket, Glenn, and I'm like, okay, I'll be back to that. So, yeah, it's not good,
Tammy,
on the bank account.
Tammy may work for Road to the Horse, but she doesn't make any money working there.
I spend it all. Vendors, sponsors. I love Road to the Horse, and you can tell that when we talk to Richard Winters is just, they're the sweetest, nicest family, and he's so passionate about what he does. And everyone at Road to the Horse is, Glenn, and I think that's what makes it so special. This is not a horse show. This is not a competition. It's Road to the Horse. It's a life. It's a passion. It's a journey, and it's emotional. And I think that's what makes us family,
Yes, I agree.
I've drunk the Kool-Aid. I love this event, Glenn. I really do. I'm really passionate about it. It's like nothing else you've ever been to. So I'm a huge fan.
I can tell.
Yep.
So now you're going to continue personally. I have to always ask you some personal questions on the Road to the Horse episode because of all of your fans from the Western radio show listen in and they want to know what's going on with Tammy. So you're going to continue competing, providing you have,
yep.
Well, you have more than one horse now. Hanson's not your only horse.
No, I'm not sure. I've probably already told you because I've told everybody. My backup horse that I was competing off, a little Hollywood Dunnett mare, she is actually in foal to Hanson's father.
Oh,
I
didn't know that. No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Oh, my gosh. I put the ultrasound picture on my
you're having a baby.
Page, and I'm like, I hope people understand that is my horse. So, yeah, I've got a baby Hanson coming next year. It's going to be Hanson's half-brother.
Jamie, having a baby.
I know. I'm so excited. I was like, I couldn't believe it when I saw it on the ultrasound. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I, wanted this baby called for, 5 years. I've already got a name for it. So,
You know what's going to happen now is people are just tuning in and going to hear me say, Tammy's having a baby, and you're going to get all these congratulations on your
baby. Oh, no, baby cold. Totally baby cold.
This is a baby horse.
Yes.
We're talking about.
Very, very exciting.
So this means you don't have a backup horse right now to compete with.
Well, yeah, and I'm actually looking to buy. I'm looking at a couple, looking at one next week, and I've looked at quite a few this week. And so I'm in the hunt for another one because I had another backup, which, you know, after my accident, she was just too big for me, and I didn't feel safe and on something up like 16 hands. I kind of like those short little stocky cow horses, so I did sell her. Now, I wouldn't have sold her if I hadn't known one would get pregnant and the other one would get sick. So anyway. Great.
I have
to go horse shopping, Glenn.
Yeah, well, who doesn't like to do that? I have to congratulate you, too, on you're continuing to wear your helmet in the competitions, and we're seeing a lot more mounted shooters wearing helmets now.
I know. And actually, you know, I was riding a horse yesterday, and I put it back in the stall. It wasn't my horse. I borrowed it. And the person next to me in their stall had a helmet on, so I went and introduced myself. And I'm not going to lie, Glenn, coming out in the mountain shooting world wearing a helmet, very difficult for me, very difficult. And you've got to be okay with yourself, and you've got to be like, okay, I'm a trailblazer, and I'm going to have fun with this, because I was self-conscious, and I think people need to know that. You know, I wasn't this person that went out there and played like, I'm going to be a role model. I said I was going to be a role model, but it's very difficult to break the mold. And I'm thrilled that I have done it and done well in the sport, so it gets a little bit of attention there. But I feel better in my helmet. I've had so much trauma in my head, and even if you haven't had a TBI, it's a smart thing to do. And I feel like I ride better in my helmet when I have it on. And I've kind of got to the point, I used to hate my helmet, despise my helmet, and now I got to the point where I'm good with it, you know.
You have some cool helmets. You have some cool helmets, too. I mean, they're not like, you know, ugly things. You have some really cool-looking ones now.
No, I've got some great helmets from Trucks Will Send me my helmets. So, no,
I have the Western one. I have the Western one and the leather-covered one. That's really neat. I don't get to wear it here in Florida a whole lot because it's too hot right now. But if I want to look cool, I just wear my leather-covered helmet when I'm out. I didn't bring that up to belabor the point. I just, you know, and you can afford another head injury. I mean, you really can. You had the car accident.
Thanks, Glenn.
Have this big scar in the shape of a cross on the back of your head from the surgery that reminds you all the time that you need to wear your helmet. So.
And it's kind of like when I went to the Riders for Helmet Symposium and was able to meet Courtney King Guy, the Olympian dressage rider. You know, she's such an accomplished rider, and things don't happen when you expect them to happen. They happen when you don't expect them. It could be something as simple as, you know, being out of the barn or a horse tripping or something so small that can do it. So sometimes it's not that big accident or that big blow up in a horse that's going to cause it. It's just going to be the everyday chores, you know, that you can get hurt in that you don't think about.
Well, our next guest is on the line, and he is a guy that kind of is a behind-the-scenes guy, isn't he, at Road to the Horse?
He is a busy guy. We'll just call him a busy guy.
You can introduce him.
Yeah. This is Mark DeBrito. Mark manages the upper concourse level at Road to the Horse, one of our very, very busy behind-the-scenes staff members and team members of Road to the Horse. Been with us for a while. So good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks
How
for having
you?
Me. I'm doing great. Great.
Good.
I'm
good.
In beautiful sunny California today.
Oh, sunny California. That means it's early over there for you.
Yes. Yes, it is. So I'm just getting my day going.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your history with Road to the Horse and how long you've been involved with the event and what you currently do at the event.
Okay. Well, it started off my wife's brother is Mike Kebble, who was a competitor and also a judge and a head judge for the Road to the Horse. So a few years back, my wife and my daughter went to help him out. They ended up helping the show. I went a couple years back and started helping out, and it's such a great event, and and so exciting that we've all go back now every year, and we've moved up a little bit in position of what we do there because we enjoy it so much, and we all have a little bit of background in production for a special event. So now it's been 2 years that I've been doing it.
Awesome. So what's your day composed of at Road to the Horse? I mean, I know you're the guy who I call when I have a problem. You're the fixing guy. So what's your day look like at Road to the Horse?
Well, it starts off early. I pretty much get there before anybody else and get things rolling, make sure everybody's getting in their position. And the day of the show is we just want to make sure we're ready when the doors open that all the fans are there and have a great experience, that there's no glitches or any of them that they can see anyhow. And we just keep it rolling. I do all the upper concourse event stuff, which basically is I stay out of the arena. That's for the other crew down there, and they do a great job. So I just take care of all our customers, all our vendors, the venue itself. I help them out, make sure they're helping us out, and we're helping them out.
So how many vendors do you have at Road to the Horse? Basically, how much shopping do we have?
there is a ton of shopping. We have over 100 vendors just in our vendor hall, and then around the concourse, we have another, I'm just guessing here, 30, 40 vendors slash sponsors. So they're a little bit bigger. They have more interactive activities going on with the concourse vendors.
And then you take care of everything, not so much, I mean, in the facility. I mean, there's a lot that goes on out of the facility that you coordinate, security, EMS, parking, tickets, signage. So it's a huge undertaking that comes way out of the arena for you.
Yeah, it's a big show. That we have quite a good staff year-round that takes care of all the pre-production is what I call it. Getting our venue, getting all our volunteers, our security, our EMS, all that shuttle bus during the year. It's quite an undertaking. And then the week of the show is when it really all happens. We get in, we go to Kentucky on Monday, and it's 20-hour days. We just go for 7 days straight until the event is over and take a few months off and rest, and then we start all over again.
So are you involved with horses, Mark? What's your equine history?
You know, I'm not too involved with horses. I have run the Scottsdale Prada del Sol Rodeo in Scottsdale, Arizona for the last 20 years. I now sit on their board as an advisor. You know, I ride a little bit. I don't own any horses. I'm a production guy. I do the events. So whether it's a horse or a concert, I've done quite a few concerts and special events. That's how I got into all this, and that's my passion.
Okay, hold on. I got to ask. So you did concerts and special events and things like that. What was the wildest, most out-of-control concert you ever did?
I haven't had too many out-of-control. I have a lot of out-of-control artists.
Well, that's I've been trying to ask that in a roundabout way, and I knew you probably wouldn't name names, but I thought I'd try anyway.
Well, let's put it this way. The newer, not necessarily the younger, but the newer the act or the artist is, the more out of control and hard to deal with. Did a lot of classic rock concerts and a lot of our old-time country guys, and they're the best. They're so humbled out. I think they're done partying. So they're just great people. But the newer ones, the newer ones, they can be a handful.
Now, you also, I know that they all have these contracts that they sign, and I forget what it's called. What's the part of the contract called where they have all these requirements, you know, the green?
The rider.
Yeah, okay, so what's the weirdest things you've had in the riders? I have to know.
The weirdest one wasn't what they were requesting as far as food or beverage. It's how everybody had to act when they got off their bus, including the police officers. Everybody had to turn their back to them as they got off their bus and walked on stage. And they would not get off the bus until everybody had their back turned to the wall, or, you know, facing the wall, so you wouldn't have interaction with them while they walked from the bus to the stage. So,
are they this freaking royalty or what?
No, and, you know, it was an older country act, and they weren't that popular. And so the police had nothing to do with it. They just walked their way. And, and the rest of us had to play by the rules just to get through the
show.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. But, you know, the green M&Ms and all that, don't get too many of that. You always hear they only want green M&Ms, or don't put any red M&Ms in their bowl, you know, things like that. I think that's more of a myth than anything.
Okay.
Typically not that bad.
Okay. Funny. You have a tough job because you have to be like, you have to be centered the entire time. You have to be the one that is so centered. Do you go at the end of the day, shut the door, and just like beat your head against the wall?
No, I sit back at the end of the day and just can't wait till morning and do it all again. It's pretty cool. It's what I do is I always call it day of show. I'm the troubleshooter, like Tim said earlier. I just, you know what? The show is only a few hours long, and if you have an answer for somebody, it doesn't have to be necessarily the right answer. As long as it's not a bad answer, everything just keeps rolling. Where shows get in trouble is when nobody has an answer at all and they stand around. So you got to throw out an answer, good or bad, right or wrong, and let it keep rolling. Nobody knows the difference. That's the key. Yeah.
That's funny. And things don't stack up on your plate that way either.
Oh, correct. You get it off your plate while it's in front of you. You don't let it ride for another hour or two because then it's too late. The shows are only 4, 5, 6 hours long.
Right. So. Interesting. Well, you're the right guy to do it, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Tammy?
Yep. Wondering about the rock concerts. I haven't really been to any. I'm not adventurous like that, Glenn. I missed that whole generation thing.
Yeah, you were at the point where at that age you had just come over from Australia and you really were broke, so you weren't attending too many $300 rock concerts.
Drive on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah. You know, I don't go to concerts. I've been to one concert as a fan in my entire life.
Uh-huh.
My first concert was with Eddie Money when I was in high school. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't
paid for it. Oh, that tells you how old you are. You just aged yourself.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. Jamie's going, Eddie who?
Yeah. Well, we'll get a free ticket now and then, and I'll go sit. And my wife doesn't like to go to a concert with me because all I'm doing is going, hey, that banner's crooked, or why is that guy not doing his job over here? And it's not a very fun experience for either one of us. So we're not allowed to go anymore.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've been to a few, and unfortunately for a couple of them, I've been to the very top rows, and the marijuana smoke usually is so, in an indoor one, is usually so bad up there, you really don't remember much of the concert by the time you're done.
That's funny.
We don't have that problem
idea.
At Road to the Horse. I didn't see anybody smoking marijuana at Road to the Horse. I will say that. We didn't have that problem.
I didn't see or smell any. That's a pretty good.
And you would know.
Well, it's such a great event, and you don't have to. It's a high all.
It's definitely a family event. Yep.
That's y'all are in the hippie era thing. I'm like lost here.
Yeah,
well,
we
haven't noticed. If you haven't noticed, Tammy, I think it's back. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't noticed.
Have you been to Denver lately?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good point. No, I haven't.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for being involved with Road to the Horse and keeping it all run smoothly. I was there for the first time last year, and I didn't see any troubles as far as that was concerned. So that means if the average person doesn't see the problems, you have handled them all. So good job with that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
All right.
See you,
Mark.
See you at the road door.
He wasn't telling us the good stuff. You know he was holding out on us, right?
I was lost. Your second half of your conversation with the concerts, I'm like, I don't even think I've been to I've been to one concert in Australia. It was Reba McEntire, like, and I was probably 15.
You need to go. You need a midlife crisis or something to go through your childhood all over again.
I may be having one this week. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot of Road to the Horse here this morning. We have to take a couple of minutes and mention the World Equestrian Games, which where Tammy and I met at the World Equestrian Games in 2010. And I do have a – we've been doing daily reports here. And, of course, there's only a couple days left of the World Equestrian Games now, so let's play this.
2014, the year of the 7th World Equestrian Games, and the turn of Normandy to stage the biggest equestrian event in the world.
Well, right now going on, as we mentioned yesterday, we have the jumping and vaulting competitions that are doing well and going on again today. Driving dressage started today, which, of course, the driving competition I'll be following all weekend. Wendy and I will be glued to FEI TV for that. Let's start with jumping. There were 144 jumpers yesterday, Tammy, that did the first round of team competition and the second individual qualifier. 20 clear rounds over the 13-fence track. 6 eliminations and 2 retirements, so that wasn't too bad yesterday out of 144 riders. The Netherlands improved from 5th place overnight to take the lead going into the second round of team competition today, which will decide the team medals. The USA lies in 2nd. Yay! We could win another medal. Yeah, we need them. We're not doing very well. So Germany was in 3rd. Darn Germans are just taking everything. They will not let it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So France is actually in 4th place, and I know they have a lot of home team support there. French rider Patrice Devaux, I don't know. Leads the individual standings ahead of America's BZ Madden in 2nd place. So BZ is sitting in 6th place in the individual standings right now. And Bertram Allen, the young Irishman who was leading after the first day, topped the individual standings overnight, dropped to 14th right now. He's 19 years old and one of the youngest doing the show jumping right now. Just 10 teams go through today's second round. Netherlands, USA, Germany, France, Brazil, Canada, Sweden, Ireland, Colombia, first time ever, and Ukraine. So two countries from South America very happy to be there, Brazil and Colombia. So now we'll find out, I think, by the end of today, who wins the gold medal for the teams, and then the individual competitions will continue.
Awesome.
Vaulting. A total of 17 nations are competing for the World Championship in vaulting. Day 2 of vaulting championships yesterday saw Germany take the lead. No surprise. Can I say it again? The darn Germans. They're just metal. They take the lead yesterday in the team competition ahead of Switzerland, with Austria lying in 3rd place. U.S. is in 9th right now, just ahead of Canada. There was freestyle on the individual side. A terrific young girl I met by the name of Joanne Eccles, who won the gold in 2010 in individual. In the individual competition in vaulting, is leading the way again after the freestyle. She performed to "I Dream a Dream" from the musical Les Miserables, and did very well. Was definitely a crowd favorite. And the cool thing is, she's using her own family's horse by the name of W.H. Bentley, and her father is the lunger. So it's kind of a family thing there. And she's just so much fun. She gives great interviews, and we met her in 2010. A Frenchman by the name of Jacques Ferrari is leading after yesterday's competition in the men's individual side. So that is what's happening there. And then over on the driving side, they have started the dressage competition and finished, actually, the first day of dressage competition for the driving. And, Tammy, I don't know if you've ever seen four horses doing the dressage and marathon and everything. It is,
I've
even in dressage.
Country. I haven't seen the dressage, but I have seen the
the cross-country driving when I was at Wagon, Kentucky at the horse park, and it was amazing.
I keep telling people, everybody shows up for the, for cross-country for the eventers. You need to show up for the drivers. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those guys are nuts. Just crazy. They're taking four horses through these obstacles, but even in dressage, it's absolutely beautiful. They're all decked out. They all have to match their carriages, and the clothing has to be correct. And they're taking four horses out there that they are not sitting on and don't have direct control of, any control of with their legs. They have a whip that has a lash, and they touch their horses ever so gently on their shoulders, and the horses know what those commands are, all four of them. And it's just an amazing sight to see. And after day one right now, it looks like Isbren Chardin, who is from the Netherlands, who we've interviewed a couple of times, is leading our friend Coasteron, who is also from the Netherlands. So they're in first and second place after the first day of dressage. There's another day to go yet. Misty Wrigley Miller is in ninth place right now. And number one, Chester Weber, who is number one, of course, in the world right now in rankings, and my neighbor here in Ocala from the United States will go tomorrow. So right now it's Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, all leading the way, as it always is in driving. They also dominate driving, but Chester has a chance of winning this thing, so we're going to keep our fingers crossed. And that's what's happening in the world of the World Equestrian Games. Thank you, Tammy, for allowing me to do that and keep the audience up to date on what's going on.
Oh, you're welcome. Loved it. Yeah, no, it's lots going on there.
Appreciate that. Now, you got to spend some time there, and, there is an atmosphere to the World Equestrian Games, and it is a lot of fun, and I hope someday it does come back to Lexington, and next time it'll be in Canada, and we do plan on attending that. But we hope it does come back to Lexington at some point. That would be a lot of fun to have it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tammy, where do people get tickets, and how do they do all that?
All at www.roadtothehorse.com. Tickets on sale now. And the event, March 26th to the 29th, 2015, in Lexington at the Kentucky Horse Park. So roadtothehorse.com has all the information.
Very good. And, of course, it has all the information about the competitors and the hotels and all of that stuff on there as well. Go check it out at roadtothehorse.com. Thank you, Tammy, for joining us once again. We appreciate it. If you missed any of Tammy's past episodes for Road to the Horse, you can find them at horsesinthemorning.com. Just go on there and take a search for Road to the Horse. It'll bring up all the past episodes that Tammy and I have done. And you can also take a listen to the show that we did from Road to the Horse back in March of 2014. You can take a listen to that. It was a lot of fun. We had a ton of guests on there. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. I don't know. Jamie might join us at the beginning of the show to talk a little bit about Sandy Lovato. We're waiting to hear about that and whether we can get that confirmed because she's at a show, so she'll have to see if she has cell phone reception. But we will be here. We'll be here with Really Bad Ads. We have a bunch of guests lined up, so a lot of good stuff happening here tomorrow morning. Don't forget the easiest way to listen to our shows is on our app, iOS or Android. You can go to the App Store on either one and just search for Horse Radio Network. Horses in the Morning is listed on there. Thank you, Tammy, and good luck with
Anthem.
Keep us informed about what's going on with his care here at the hospital.
Yeah, so far so good. Appreciate it.
Very good. Good luck with that, Tammy. We'll talk to you again next month.
Yep.
Wear your helmets, everybody.
I am.
Tammy does. She's cool. She's one of the cool kids.